how crazy these prophets must have sounded to their contemporaries writing like this? You know, they weren't very well received. And just as great artists of their time, most of the Impressionist painters, they died impoverished. Mozart was buried in a common grave. The greatness of his work was not recognized at the time. And I've told you before, I guess I've lamented before, of a guy like Leonardo da Vinci up in his tower drawing pictures of helicopters, and Copernicus claiming that, no, the sun doesn't revolve around the earth revolves around the sun, the earth is not flat. All these forward thinkers of their day were disparaged by their contemporaries, and some of them jailed, some of them killed. Certainly those of a spiritual apprehension were killed. Those who saw farther than anybody else, because the majority of the world is dumb. You can quote me on that. The majority of the world is dumb, Martin Zender, because God has made it dumb, and he has made us to shine like luminaries against the dumbness. You can quote me on that too. Another way to put that is let your light shine among men, you know, and let your, as Jesus would say, you don't hide yourself, but you, God presents us, and we're to be as luminaries in the world. And what's the world? It's darkness. God brought light out of darkness in Genesis. And Paul makes an analogy there somewhere in his writings where he says that we shine forth. We are like that movement of God that brought light out of the darkness. So we are now luminaries in the world, and we're disparaged just like, and we're belittled, marginalized, just like the prophets, just like Jesus, just like Paul. So that's why I encourage you today not to feel some strange thing happening to you, that nobody likes you, that you're out of step with the world, that you seem to be a failure, that nothing works for you, nothing goes your way, everybody else is succeeding, you're failing. Well, welcome to the role of luminary, because you are not to be celebrated in this eon. You are now hidden. Colossians 3:1. Your life is now hid together with Christ in God. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And whenever Christ, our life, should be manifested, then you also will be manifested with him in glory. It's not time for you to be manifested yet. So, same with Isaiah, same with any of these prophets, same with John. I mean, this guy should have been the celebrity of his day. He was just shown the future by God. But instead, he's a nobody. And all the apostles were killed in terrible, horrible, tragic ways. So should we expect any better treatment? Once you realize that this is God's modus operandi, it gives you some measure. Some measure. You're not going to be completely happy about this setup. But it's going to give you some measure of peace, knowing that God's always done it this way. So now we can plug into Isaiah here, and we can feel for the guy, and we can understand where he's coming from as he poetically describes the destruction of the earth. Talked about that yesterday. Today I'm going to talk about Isaiah talking about the destruction of the inhabitants of the earth. Because this is something, when I teach this out of Revelation, even those of you in the body of Christ, even those of you who embrace mature truth, you're going to be shocked. And you're going to think I'm wrong. And you're going to complain. I can already hear it. Martin, nothing like this is going to happen. But I'm telling you, there's going to be wholesale murder. Not murder, killing. God doesn't murder, he kills. That's okay. The commandment said, thou shalt not commit murder. That's to kill illegally. God does not kill illegally. He kills legitimately, because I kill, I make alive. He's the only one able to make alive. You can't do that, can you? No, he can. So there's going to be a wholesale killing of human beings. And now Isaiah graduates from the swaying and the sliding and the slipping and the smashing of the earth to the inhabitants of the earth. And here he is. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, once again. Recently of the earth, now speaking of the inhabitants of the earth, here he is, Isaiah, the despised, forlorn prophet, who, by the way, prophesied naked for like a year. God had him take all his clothes off and prophesy to Israel. There's a reason for it. I don't remember. But I don't think it probably engendered the man to the populace at large. I don't know if he was allowed to keep his sandals on or or anything, but it was bad enough being a spokesperson of God. Then God just like doubles down on it. It's just crazy. Anyway, Isaiah threatens the nations. Now, it was Isaiah 24 when he talks about the earth tottering, sliding, slipping. Now we're in Isaiah chapter 34. Draw near, ye nations, to hear. Now, you notice it's a plural. It's nations, not just nation. I have been told that the unveiling of Jesus Christ and the trials are localized, that it only affects Israel. This is so not the case. It infects the entire earth. It affects and infects the entire earth, not just Israel. And here is evidence from Isaiah, who is clearly, I'm sorry, but clearly prophesying here concerning the sixth seal. He says, draw near ye nations to hear, and ye races attend. Races. Not just Israel. That's a race. This is races. Attend. Here shall the earth and her fullness, the inhabitants and all its issue. For wrath at Jehovah is on all the nations, not just the nation Israel. Did you hear that? Verse 2, chapter 34, Isaiah, all the nations. The wrath of Jehovah is on all the nations. This is not a localized trial. It does not concern only Israel. It concerns all the nations. And fury on all their host. He causes their doom. So no more thought, even though God is the cause of war, famine, and pestilence, there's no more thought on the earth at the time of the unveiling of the sixth seal being opened. There's no thought that this is not of God. There's no thought that this is Mother Nature. You remember that old butter commercial? If you think it's butter, but it's not. It's chiffon, and you don't want to make Mother Nature angry, right? Mother Nature created the butter. How dare you say something bad about her creation? So the world's constantly talking about Mother Nature. It's so impersonal. Well, no more of that. That's done. We have no more impersonal God. He's here. And he causes their doom directly. He gives them to slaughter, and their wounded shall be flung away, and from their corpses shall ascend their stink. How do you like that one, Sister Claw? How do you like that one? From their corpses shall ascend their stink. This is as literal as can be. And melt through the mountains with their blood. That's figurative. And purify, I'm sorry, putrefy, a little bit different there than purify. Putrefy all the host of the heavens. And rolled up, listen to this. This is verse 3 of Isaiah 34. And rolled up as a scroll are the heavens. Now I'm going to quote from the unveiling, chapter 6, verse 14, and heaven recoils as a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Isaiah again, and rolled up as a scroll are the heavens. It's almost word for word. Tell me, in light of this, that the unveiling does not belong in the scripture. Tell me this book is not inspired. And all their host is decaying, as decays the leaf from the vine, and as one decays from the fig. It's interesting here that Isaiah uses the figure of a leaf and a vine, and also the fig. And this is the same figure used in the unveiling, that the stars will fall from heaven as overripe figs from a tree shaken by the wind. And their host is decaying. That is the host of the nations. They're decaying. They're being broken down. In their humiliation, in their destruction, and indeed in their deaths. So we have wholesale killing going on, as we're going to see, as one decays from the fig. So poor Isaiah. It's worse than Da Vinci in his tower drawing helicopters. Isaiah's talking about a time, and I'm sure he was laughed at, just as Noah was laughed at when he's building a gigantic boat in the middle of dry land. Landlocked, and Noah's building a boat. Isaiah probably prophesying in a time of wonderful prosperity. If you're a prophet of doom in the time of prosperity, you will not have an audience. This is why Joel Osteen, here I go bringing him up again, is so popular. Anyone who teaches prosperity will be popular. But prosperity is fleeting. If you want to teach prosperity of spirit. But here's Noah warning of an impending judgment. Here's Isaiah warning of what's going to happen on the earth. And we have John of the unveiling doing the same thing. In the meantime, people are marrying, given in marriage, having feasts, celebrations, living as though nothing could ever happen. As the makers of the Titanic said, God himself could not sink this ship. And so it just takes one iceberg. Your ship is sunk. Likewise, this earth is on borrowed time. Folks, it's tottering. Isaiah says it's going to reel like a drunk person. Well, it's imbibing now. It is in the process of getting drunk. If you don't see this, if you think we are living in days like any other day, you're blind. If you think that the snatching away is still 2,000 years away, you're blind to the times. You have not looked at human history from a bird's eye view and seen the pressures and the fast pace of knowledge and transportation and technology and everything else that has occurred just since the year 1900. In the last 100 years, there has been more, quote, unquote, progress made than in the previous 6,000 years. We are in a crunch time. We're in a crunch time of war, crunch time of technology, a crunch time of pressure, a crunch time of complexity of life, a crunch time of money. Everything is exponentially increasing. And so to be blind to that, again, you're blind to it at your own peril. I'm heralding this word. I'm maybe a prophet of doom. Call me a prophet of doom. But not really, because look, I'm looking through this stuff. And that's, we're always going to do this in the unveiling. We're looking through it into the consummation and the what God is bringing out of it. If we're to compare it with a woman in labor, which Isaiah does, then we're going to have to say, well, the woman produces a child, and that's the outcome of the pain. We're only looking at the pain. There's an outcome. Now, Jesus prophesied of the sixth seal as well. Remember, I told you that even though we see nothing of famine, war, and pestilence per se in the unveiling, we nevertheless have Jesus prophesying in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, not in John. Likewise here. We also have him prophesying of the sixth seal. Just as he prophesied of war and famine and plague, he prophesies of the heavens being shaken. So he's got it all covered. He's got it covered in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. Tomorrow, we're going to look at what Jesus Christ had to say about the sixth seal.